I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you in love with the Lord? Are you?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Are you in love with the Lord?
Yes.
Okay, I like that. Just so you know, this is interactive. You can feel free to yell anytime you like.
Okay.
But, except for you. We may have gone too far already. All right. Listen, when you answer that question, though, I expect that you are not lying. All right, because we do that a lot, but don't you ever lie, because that won't get us anywhere. That does nothing. That just puts you in an unhappy relationship, and that right there is the absolute last thing that God ever wants for you. But to be honest, if we are honest, the old perfect God is not naturally sinful humanity's favorite person. Right? This is how we see him, I think, a lot of the time. Yeah, he calls us out. That's not everybody's favorite person. And honestly, think about it. The life and death of Jesus proved that to all of us. That's what happened when truth came down here. We killed it. So please know that it is okay to say, boy, I want to love him, but I'm just not there yet. That's okay. Trust me, after all, every married person in this room can tell you this. Love takes effort. Amen?
Amen?
It does. Love, here's what we all know. Love doesn't happen to you. It happens through you.
Good.
And that's a bummer. That's a big bummer to every one of us who thought that, you know, being swept off your feet also means that love is more of a piggyback ride than a bicycle built for two. But that's what it is. Because love means pushing the pedals and working up a sweat to get you and your loved one both where you want to go. That's just it. It's true. You'll get married if you're not there yet, and you'll see. Now, psychologists, philosophers, and poets have been dissecting and trying to define love since the very beginning of time, right? It's our big pursuit. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to focus on five very specific steps that take us to true love, all right? And they are awareness, connection, intimacy, trust, and value, all right? Because to go from being total strangers to soulmates, every single relationship must scale these stairs right here. And without each one of them, every single relationship is susceptible to stumbling on a very slippery slope. We need these stairs. So I'm going to ask you right now, and I want you to be thinking about this for the rest of the morning, which step trips you up? We all have a weak spot. Some of these are easier or harder, depending on who we are. And last week, we got some good insight. Last week, Bruce suggested 7 New Year's resolutions to see where each of us might need to work on ourselves. And good news, I got a perfect score. I need it all. I've got the whole boatload of anger, greed, lust, envy, sloth, pride, and yes, gluttony. And I know what you're thinking. Gluttony, yes, because also we can add spelling to my list. Because I made the slide and I spelled it gluttony. I got a lot to work on. Thanks for pointing it out, everybody who noticed it. Appreciate it. That's what we need. That's good. It's good. I'll clean it up. But as I began to ponder my predicament overall, all the things that I need to work on so that I could make a plan of action, I immediately noticed that the whole crew of my problems shared a common characteristic. They are all fed by a focus on ourselves. But as convicting as that is, seeing that I'm the problem, we also ought to see that as equally encouraging, right? Because if self-centeredness is the common cause to all of our problems, well, then getting our eyes off ourselves is the common cure. One thing. And here's how it works. By just shifting our focus somewhere else, to someone else, that awareness, connection, intimacy, trust, and value all are naturally just set in motion to build us to the one emotion that cures all of our conditions. And of course, that is love. Right? Those are the steps. And we know this because, let's boil it down, love covers a multitude of sins. That's it. Love covers a multitude of sin. But you just said love was a sweaty bike ride full of effort. And now it's just a matter of giving someone else our attention. Make up your mind. Which is it? Well, both. Yes and no. It's not just giving, but sustaining our attention. And that's tricky. Giving attention isn't hard. Sustaining it is. Again, married people know what we're talking about. It's a lot harder the longer you go. You give your attention to every squirrel that just moves through your field of view, right? But sustaining that attention means moving you to shift your view to follow the squirrel. And that's the hard part, right? Because we prefer the effortless focus on ourselves because it's where our attention just naturally rests. It's all I can see all the time, for better or worse. So yes, okay, yes, it takes surprising amount of effort to push past the comfort and convenience that our own egos offer. But if you can get your eyes just off of yourself, love will happen on its own. Okay? Like, it happens through you. It takes over. And here is the best part, all right? This is a mind blower. It only takes 4 minutes. Uh-huh. Yeah, 4 minutes. Let me tell you about it. You see, over 25 years ago now, psychologist Arthur Aaron fell in love. Good for him, Anna. So sweet. So he does what a psychologist in love would do. He starts studying it. Why am I in love? What's happening to me? Biological, blah, blah, blah. So he starts studying how love works. He wants to figure it out. And by experimentation, he succeeded in making two people fall in love in his laboratory. Yeah, I know. To be a fly on the wall, what? Okay. 6 months later, they invited the whole lab to their wedding. These two subjects who fell in love. And so, you gotta wonder, right? What was Arthur's big secret? You ready? Remember, it's interactive. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 4 measly minutes of uninterrupted eye contact. 4 minutes of eye contact. And that's, it's hard to believe, but since then, many people have recreated the experiment and the whole experience with absolutely crazy results. You can look it up on YouTube. There's so many people showing like these dramatic effects that it had. One of which was Amnesty International, who wanted to show how humans should be connecting, you know, beyond our borders. So they said, well, let's just take some people from, you know, who don't speak the same language and have never met before, and let's just have them try this out. So we're going to watch a little clip of that, and I want you to remember that these people don't speak the same language, nor have they ever met. But you can see what a little FaceTime can do.
Thank you.
get out of town, right? The range of emotions. 4 minutes. That's insane to me. There's other videos. I wish I could show you them all. I recommend look at a couple, 55 years married, so they'd never seen each other the way that they saw after they did it themselves. It's just crazy. And that, okay, just for the record, that right there is just the power of the eye contact alone. But before the 4 minutes of sustained staring, Dr. Aaron's original procedure that made the subjects fall in love also involves taking turns asking and answering 36 increasingly personal questions. So I want to ask you guys, do you think that you have the willpower to sustain that kind of attention? Could you do 36 questions in a 4 minute staring contest? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Good, because that's your assignment this week. I am not kidding about this. Here's your assignment this week. Go fall in love or else. I'm making it a threat too because I'm checking in. I'm going to be asking every single one of you. I have attached all of these questions to the transcript, okay? Last page there. I fully expect that you are going to go do this. All you have to do is go grab someone and find the answers to those questions and then find a measly 4 minutes. You can do that. And so I know, I mean, this sounds strange. We're at church and I'm your therapist here. But if you're wondering why I have become such a militant romantic, let me tell you why. Our lives depend on it. It's not just a good idea. It's necessary if you want to keep living because we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. That's how you take your pulse. If you love each other, but anyone who does not love remains in death. And I want you to live. All right? That's my career. I want you to live. I demand that you live. So in case you've made it this far to this church at this stage in your life and it's never been made crystal clear to you, I want you to understand this today. Every single page, purpose and plan in Christianity in any form everywhere is and ought to be focused on one very real thing that we could accomplish every single day, but we rarely do, and that is loving. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. The entire law, as a matter of fact, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's a big book. It's summed up right there. Love conquers all. And that's Bible included. That's good news for guys like us who are trying to figure out what it means. Guess what? Love first. It'll sort itself out. This also means everyone who loves has been born of God. Everyone. You hearing this? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love, all right? It is not about the amount of hours that you're logging in these seats right here. That has nothing to do with it. God is love. If you don't know love, you don't know God. And that is a sobering truth, unbelievably sobering truth. Your love of others corresponds to how well you know God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, that's terrifying. Because based on social media posts alone, churches are filled with people who barely know the thing that they think that they're worshiping. But if you're not loving, then you don't know the guy that you think that you're worshiping. And that's not going to be us, amen?
Amen?
That is not us. Today, we are raising our intention to sustain our attention so that we can begin our ascension up the steps to true love. But before you go pick the person to be your partner in this week's Laboratory of Love, which you're all going to go do, we're going to walk through these steps together to see what to expect, okay? Because you saw a lot of it in that video, those different stages. It's so unbelievable to see. But it all starts with who you choose. Who you choose. And here's the great part. It can be anybody. It can be anybody. It can be a spouse, a stranger, a friend, or a foe. I mean, really, you know, it says to love your enemies. Try it. Ooh, that'd be something. Because there is such an unbelievable complexity and purpose and goodness hidden in every single inch of creation and every single person in creation that if you just look long enough, you will see what's lovable. Guaranteed. In everything. Think about that. That's just crazy. And I'll tell you, first steps don't get much easier than this, all right? So, I mean, this is, we've got no excuse. They don't get much easier because the moment that we just decide where we're going to direct our attention, who we're going to focus on, we've already started the process. Because simply adding intention to our attention creates awareness, right? That's when you're purposeful. And awareness gives us the key ingredient to love, which is something to focus our attention upon. We have to be aware of something. We have to pick something. It has to be there. And then we can start focusing on it. And that right there is why David did this. I love it, this idea of how he's thinking. David expected to see big things after he committed to his sustained look. I think it was more than 4 minutes, but he gave his sustained look into the Lord's law. And this is what he said. He said, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate on your ways. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." He expected it. He knows if you stare, if you give it that attention, you'll see something incredible. But I don't want you to misunderstand, okay, right here. Nothing happens by awareness alone. You can't just, there's that thing and you're over. No, nothing happens by awareness alone. We need ongoing attention, right? Sustaining it. And that means that we have to take action. Because another squirrel is going to run by and you're going to, nope, I got to focus, right? It takes action to keep us there, to steadily study and inquire and engage whatever our subject is. But starting, right? That's the hard part. Starting is as simple as just finding 4 minutes of FaceTime. And we can all do that. Because when we add that action to our awareness, that's when we create connection. Right? And that's when we take our second step. Connection is where the relationship really begins, right there. Because as you engage, your actions that you're taking become interactions with your subject. And the relationship that forms based on those things becomes a part of who you are and what you do from that point on. Like Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." That's it. Respond, interact, and God shows up. And I got, here's a part that you saw this in the video. This is a little bit of a hurdle for, I think, a lot of us. How long, seriously, think about this. How long does it take someone just looking at you before you become self-conscious? You'll find out right when we're excused, because you'll be really aware of how long you're looking at people after this. Well, however long it takes for you to get self-conscious, unfortunately, that right there, that's when we instinctually do the thing that ruins it all, where we put on a false front, you know, and we start trying to protect the true you back there. And you saw it in the video. I think it's so telling that in the beginning, right, they're all, you start smiling, right? We put on our Facebook profile picture. Hello, everything's fine. And then you also saw in the video that moment where a smile just dropped, and it's been 90 seconds, and I can't hold up that fake facade for that long. And it happens. That false front falls away. And we need that, because the problem is you can compromise a connection if you put on that false front, because you can't have a real relationship with a fake friend. It's not real. So if you want to take it to the next step is being intentionally truthful. You have to offer that truth, because when we add honesty to connection, well, then we step it up and we experience intimacy. That's where that happens, that honesty to the connection. And boy, I tell you, a sustained FaceTime really does tie our hands from hiding our flaws. You so badly. There's only one guy in the video who was trying to cover up a little bit, but you know you can't. You look long enough and you just can't. And the longer you look, the more we feel exposed. They're seeing everything. They know, and that's okay. That's okay. It's good because being exposed is just involuntary honesty. All right? And that's a good thing. Honesty is honesty, whether or not you chose it. And it's a good start. It's a great place to start. Like it or not, and you know, we don't. Nobody likes being exposed. Nobody likes not choosing to be honest and having to be. It does still create comfort with our true selves. You have to get comfortable with who you really are, warts and all. And then when you do, as you slowly do, develop that comfort, it empowers us to make those real relationships with the real us in spite of our self-consciousness. We got to move past it. And I tell you, when you start to learn that, I want you to remember this one thing. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Think about that. All right? He's always got his eyes on you. And that's a good thing. Because when you know that you're exposed, that you're just seen for who you really are, then you don't have to worry about hiding your flaws anymore. Right? You don't. You just go, okay, you've seen it. Whatever. I'm over it. And at that point, you can come near God and he will come near to you. And maybe you'll be willing to wash your hands, you sinners. Now you can see that you're dirty. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We all see it now, so let's just talk about it. Let's fix it, because as comfort grows, we learn that intimacy is only limited by what we allow each other to see. So if we want others to drop their defenses for a better look so that we can grow that comfort, we got to first drop ours, right? So to grow that comfort that we need for that next step where we can grow, we need to offer voluntary honesty, not just the stuff that happens accidentally when they look too long at us and we're not good enough at hiding it. We need to actually offer voluntary honesty. And you know what we call that? Vulnerability. That's being vulnerable. Because when we add vulnerability to intimacy, then we build trust. And trust is a big deal. And that's right where the tears begin. Because at that point, when you have that vulnerability with someone and you realize that you can trust them, you've seen each other's imperfections. And now you actually want to share them. You want to confess them. Because having trust turns the flaws that you have into opportunities to receive the help that you know you need. You can see that I'm a mess now. What are we going to do about it? That's a good thing. And that's why we're told by the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He already knows what's wrong with you. Show him. Tell him. Talk about it. Why do we do that, though? Well, because he will make your paths straight. He's the fix for your flaws. So you gotta show them, you gotta flaunt them, flaunt those flaws. And the more defenseless FaceTime that you log with a partner that you can trust like that, in that way, the more they shape and change and help you to become the person that you've always wanted to be. Because you know what's wrong with you, and they can just help you see and fix those things. And when you begin to feel that you're actually getting something out of giving your attention, it changes how you feel about trustworthy things. Wow, this is a magic trick. I give this thing my attention and I'm getting something out of it. And when you add that feeling, that emotion to trust, we create value. And thank heavens this is true. Thank heavens my wife was willing to see the value in my trust, because that is what changed her perspective enough to be attracted to this. I mean, if you want an object lesson about how powerful trust is, it brainwashed her. So I'm just saying, I'm a living example. But just think about it in your own life. You already know this stuff. Think about all the things that trust can make us feel that are built on trust alone. We feel calm when we trust things. We feel confident, thankful, optimistic, accepted. And as we say these days, and I love this word, we feel seen, right? This is why this is so powerful. We feel seen. And you can see this. Look at how David puts it. He says, when I am afraid, right? That's a feeling. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and I am not afraid. Am I having a medical episode or are things actually happening? Okay, no, all right. If this was it, I'm going to go toward the last remaining light. But until then, I'm going to hold on, so we'll keep going. In God I trust. And in God I trust and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? That's the power of trust. And boy, does that feel valuable, right? I mean, that's so incredible that somebody can make you feel that way. What can mere mortals do to me? Trust makes us feel the value of another person, of that relationship. And right there, in that moment, when we add value to another person, we create love. Because that's really all it is. We appreciate and we enjoy and we respect and we identify with and we care for and we deeply desire the things that we value. In other words, we love them. We love them. That's what love is. And again, we've known this from the beginning. The Bible just has all these truths hidden in it, guys. Paul explained in his command, he said, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love." He goes on to say, "In humility, value others above yourselves." That's the secret. That's how you love. And so, sure, okay, at this point, I'm sure you're wondering, is this church or are we in couples therapy? Good question, rightfully so. Let me be clear once again. Yes to both. Yes to both. They're not that different. Because this life and this church has only one single purpose, and it's learning to love the Lord. So, yeah. You're working on that relationship. We're here to reconcile the relationship so that we can move back in with our true love. And in case you haven't caught it yet, loving each other is how we love Him. Meaning, He's going to be the one behind the eyes of whoever gets your 4-minute FaceTime. Got that? It's not just who you're looking at. He's there. He's a part of it. Because no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Okay, now this, though, is how love is made complete among us. In this world, we are like Jesus. We're like Jesus. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it, all right? Which is why Jesus says himself, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And remember, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. So if you're playing your loving part in the body of Christ, well, from now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him. You've put your eyes on Him. That's it. That's the secret. Through us, to Him. So how much do you love the Lord? I'm asking again. Think about it. Really, be honest. Be honest. How much do you love the Lord? It's how much do you love others? That's the real question. That's where we start anyway. How much do you love others? It's an easy equation with an uneasy answer. So thank the Lord that it has a quick fix. All we got to do, guys, this is it. Just increase the attention that you're giving with a little intention in your living. Because FaceTime only happens when you choose to take the time, to make the effort, to start the steps to find true love. You just gotta want it. But hey, you've got 4 minutes to spare. So pick a partner and let God take it from there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we give you our love by giving our attention to every one of your children that you move into our view. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you help us to look past ourselves long enough to climb the steps out of self-centered and into true, true love. And Lord Jesus, This day we make our intention to be like you so that we can see like you, so that our love can save lives just like you. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.